Our next guest has led quite a life. She's a cancer survivor, a former school librarian. She was married for over 50 years, is described by her son, our friend Ken Franklin, as a jet traveler, theater goer, fine dining expert, and dog lover. We are joined by Bea Franklin. Bea, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
98 years old. Now, I don't know how you feel about this. I'll hear people sometimes refer to a person as 98 years young. I will tell you this. If I make it to 98, I will have earned being old, and I want to go with that.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm proud of being 98.
First of all, I have to tell you this. You must be a proud mom because we absolutely love your son, Ken.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I love him very much.
He is wonderful. Well, let's talk about your life a little bit and start at the beginning. Can you tell a little bit about your father, Jack, and his background?
Yes, he was one of my the Pep Boys, Manny, Moe, and Jack. Moe was my uncle, Jack's brother, and as you know, my father was Jack. He wasn't the original Jack. It was unfortunate that the original Jack, after a few months with the company, was a little caught with his hand in the till, so to speak. So he was let go, and my father, who was a lawyer at the time, and was doing a little legal work for Moe and the Pep Boys, was asked to join the Pep Boys as a, you know, for anything legal. And that's how he adopted the name of Jack. They didn't want to change Manny, Moe, and Jack, so he became Jack.
Well, that is a wonderful story. Now, how did you meet your husband, Jerry?
Oh, well, that's really a long story, but I'll try to make it short.
Okay.
I had a weekend date with what I found out later was his best friend. The date for the weekend was Saturday evening, going dancing at a hotel in Manhattan, and Sunday going to the Giants football game. And I met Jerry. Came to the weekend date was on Saturday and Sunday. On Thursday, my doorbell rang, and who was there but a young man who introduced himself as Jerry Franklin. And the reason he was calling on me is because his best friend, Oscar, invited Jerry to be get a date and come on a double date with us. So Jerry came by to find out what shows we would like to see on Saturday. And since I had seen, there weren't that many shows on Broadway as there are now, and I had seen most of them, so I just said, oh, any show you would like to see. So he said, all right, and he said, well, he'll see me on Saturday. He walked out of the house, and something in my head, I don't know where it came from, went off. You're going to marry him. Now, I didn't know him, but we went out Saturday with the two fellas, and it was really embarrassing for me because Jerry was sitting opposite me at the table, and his date was sitting to my right. And when the music started, he got up, walked behind his date, walked over to me and said, would you like to dance? And I said, I'd love to dance. So that was it. The whole set of music, we were together on the dance floor.
Yeah, I mean, nobody would double date with you after that, I'm guessing.
No, well, I was very happy that no one wanted a double date because I was just infatuated. I fell in love with him from the minute he walked out of the house. So that was on the 3rd of November. On Sunday, we went to the football game, and the three of us, his best friend Oscar and Jerry and I, went for dinner somewhere in the lower Manhattan. And again, there was music playing, and his date, Oscar's date sat at the table while I was dancing with Jerry. And the date stood up, and she said to me, you like to go to the ladies' room with me? So I wasn't one to go to the ladies' room on a date for any reason. So I said, okay. And when we walked into the room, she said to me, you really like Jerry, don't you? I said, yes, I do. She said, that's all right. I don't mind. Which put me at ease. Then Monday, I was a senior in NYU, and so I had classes. And when I came home, short time later, Jerry came to the door, and he said, I have to speak to you. So I invited him in. We went into the den, and as I sat down, he said, may I use you? Oh, no, he said to me, I would like to go out with you, but I can't because Oscar is my best friend, and I can't do that to him. And I said, don't I have anything to say about it? Because I would like to go out with you. So he said, well, can I use your phone? Picked up the phone. I didn't know who he was calling, but the first thing I hear is, hello, Oscar? This is Jerry. Listen, I'd like to date B, and she would like to date me, so is that all right with you? And what could he say? He said, yes. And that was it. I saw him every single day, and that was the first of, as I said, the 5th of November. My parents had been away for a month in November, and they came home on November 28th. And when they settled down, I said to my mother, I'm in love with Jerry, and we would like to become engaged over the holidays and get married in June. And my mother said, absolutely not. That's too soon. You don't know each other. And she just stonewalled me. So I said, okay. I said, suppose we wait until June to become engaged. She said, no, I'm not giving permission because you won't date anybody else. So I said, I'll date somebody else. No, you can't do it. You have to just continue doing what you're doing. So I said, okay. I walked out of the house with Jerry. As we're walking down the street, I said to Jerry, my mother is never going to say anything positive about this relationship. So let's get married anyway. And, okay. So a couple of days later, Jerry knew some lawyer in New Jersey, and he called the lawyer and he said, come on the next day. And we'll take care of it. So on November 30th, we went to the lawyer's office, and 1, 2, 3, we were married. But we didn't tell our family. So from November 30th to February 12th, they knew nothing about it. I even dated once or twice while I was married because my mother was keeping track of what I was doing. So February 11th, we were notified that every business was going to be closed because of the oil shortage. So February 12th, I went down to have breakfast with my parents. And when we were settled down, I said, I have something to tell you. What? I'm married. My mother blasted me with language I had never heard of. I didn't even know she knew such words. And when she was finished speaking, I just got up, went upstairs, dressed, came down, walked out of the house, and I'm walking down the street. I realize it's freezing cold and my hands are cold. So I turn around, I go back to the house to get my gloves. And when I walked into the house, my mother was standing at the door with her open hands looking at me, and she said, hand over your key. So I put the key in her palm of her hand, picked up my gloves, walked out of the house. And I found that there was a small shop close to where we lived that had a telephone booth. So I walked there, and I called my very best friend, and her mother said, she's not here. She's in school because she was in medical school, and medical schools were permitted to stay open. So I hung up. My next best friend was a girl who was from London. Her father was with the British Embassy, and didn't know what he was doing there, but it was during the war, so we used our imagination. So I called her and I said, because this was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I told her, because she was aware of the situation with me and Jerry. So she said, come over and stay for a while. So that's what I did. Her mother was a lovely woman and made tea for me and toast for me, and couldn't do enough. Oh, and when we, Jerry and I left on that Monday night, he said to me, don't call me early to, you know, to find out if I told my family. He said, because we might sleep late. So I said, okay, won't call before 9. 9 o'clock, I called him, and he said, I haven't told them yet, but by the time you get here, they will know. So, okay, took a cab, went to his home. And they stashed me away in one of the upstairs bedrooms because my mother-in-law was having a card party that day in the house, and she didn't want anyone to know about what was going on. So finally, my Jerry's brother-in-law said to me, it was about 2:30 in the afternoon, he said, B, is it all right if I call your home? Speak to your mother. I said, fine. Well, he was there for about a half hour, and he calls me. Your mother said you can come and get some clothes. So I said, okay. I go home, and my mother says, I understand, blah, blah. If you get an annulment, everything will be fine. And I said, I am not getting an annulment. She says, all right, then go upstairs and finish packing. About a half hour later, my mother calls me downstairs. Okay, everything will be all right. My brother-in-law was one of 10 children, and they had all been married by the same rabbi. So he called the rabbi because I wanted, and my mother insisted that I have a Jewish wedding. So his name was Bill. Bill spoke to the rabbi and explained the situation. The rabbi said, come to his home the following night, and everything will be fine. And that's what we did. And we had 51 wonderful years together. 3 sons, 1 granddaughter, and 2 grandsons, and 4 great-grandchildren. Unfortunately, he died in 1996. But there were 51 wonderful years.
That is amazing. That's an amazing story. Now, Jerry ended up joining the Army. The Signal Corps was in the 163rd Photo Company, 5th Army, and took some amazing photographs, some of the invasions in Europe and North Africa, the liberation of the concentration camp at Dachau, and just some remarkable photographs that you have been kind enough to share with a number of folks, including at the FDR Presidential Library in Hyde Park.
No, I think that wasn't aware, but probably one of the boys took care of that. But I never left any pictures. All the pictures that Jerry took and brought home, I put into 2 albums. And we never let any of the pictures out of the house that I know of. But, you know, the boys were very proud of their father, and it was very likely that they decided to give the pictures, you know, take them out of the album and take them to a museum.
And really captured history, too. I'm looking at one of the photographs now of President Roosevelt and then, at the time, General Eisenhower sitting right next to him.
Yes, he was sitting in the Jeep, I believe.
With General Patton in the background, too. That is an amazing bit of American history.
And I have pictures of, I haven't seen the pictures for a long time. And at my age, my short memory is not as great as it should be. But at any rate, I believe it was Goring who was interrogated by American generals. And there was another general whose name I don't recall, German, who was also interrogated, and Jerry has just had an interesting story that I don't think anybody is aware. When the 5th Army entered Rome, one of Jerry's friends was allowed to go with some other officers and to Pope, what's his name, the 12th. Anyway, his quarters were in, that overlooked the big area where the people used to, red citizens used to congregate to listen to the Pope, who had a balcony outside of his quarters.
Right, at the Vatican.
Yes, and when he spoke to the people, that's where he would be out on the balcony. And I remember, that this is before I knew Jerry, that there was a picture of a young man from the American Army who was out on that balcony telling the people below, who were finally liberated, that the Americans had entered Rome and they were going to be safe for the future. And that picture was taken by a photographer, I think was must have been covering the war for the New York Times, because I saw that picture on the front page of the New York Times when it happened. And Jerry said that was his friend, Greg Amendola, who I met after the war. So that was, I thought, an interesting, change of the history of World War II.
Now, B, I have to ask you a question about this. I know that you entertained a number of people in the years after the war at your home on Long Island, including the great boxer Rocky Graziano, who I'm told maybe didn't have the best table manners.
I don't know about table manners, but he didn't have his words were sort of limited to four-letter words. And I told him he was a good friend of Jerry's, and Jerry told me that he was really that Rocky was really a very generous man, and people, friends of his would come up, Rocky, I need a couple of bucks. Can you spare some money? And he would always give money to his friends until his wife Norma found out about it, and she made Rocky hand over, I don't know if it was checks or just bills, and he never had money anymore in his pocket. He was a lot of fun.
Well, B, it is a delight for us to talk with you. I wish we had more time to speak with you, but thank you so much for making some time for us this afternoon. We wish you continued good health going forward.
Thank you, and I appreciate the call, and hope that you and your family have good health for many, many years, and maybe I'll make it to 100. If I do, I'm going to let Ken know I want to speak to you again.
All right. Well, we've got a date after you're 100, because you're going to make it there and beyond. You'll be back with us.
I would like that very much. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, B. B. Franklin with us on Downtown.